Hello and welcome to Android Developers Backstage. I am Tor Norby from the Android Tools team.
I'm Chet Haas from the UI Toolkit team.
Hi, and I'm Rob Carr from the Window Manager and Activity Manager team.
And Rob is representing a much larger team, including Wale, who could not make it. Unfortunately, he had like multiple excuses stacked up. Wale, we're going to link in the show notes to the I.O. presentation that Wale did along with you and other people on the team. I'm not sure who was actually representing. So anyway, many people responsible in the end release for getting multi-window to work, which was the focus. Why don't we actually talk about multi-window today?
Yeah, I just want to ask a little bit. You had this really long title for the team. What is the short title for the team? Because certainly you don't say that all the time, right? What was it again? What was the whole thing you said?
The Window Manager and Activity Manager team.
And Activity Manager team.
We could at least reuse Manager.
Yeah.
We could
yeah.
do like Window,
they're just the manager.
Bar,
they're from the Android management manager. Team.
Yeah, normally I just say I'm on the Frameworks team.
Frameworks team, all right.
I'm on the management team. I like that.
Just wanted to clarify that they're not on the Frameworks part that you're on, Chet. That was kind of the distinguishing factor.
Yeah, so the Frameworks team is both the team that is actually called the framework team as well as the toolkit team. But I think of the side that your team is on as being the sort of non-visual or more OS-y side of framework, which is really stupid if you think about it because windows are visible. So it kind of breaks down at some fundamental level.
Yeah.
But the toolkit is kind of the widgety stuff. And then on the other side, they have window manager, activity lifecycle kind of stuff, more fragment stuff, more
a lot of the
download
stuff,
manager.
You know, in the system service and that lives outside of the app.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Way more important than those silly animations on the screen.
We have silly animations.
That's true. You have a different silly animation system. Okay. So the big work in your long-titled team this time around for the end release was multi-window?
Definitely.
Actually, was there anything going on besides multi-window for the team?
We had some new changes to Surface View. We had
Right. Oh, yeah. Actually, let's get back to that, too.
Yeah, we should get back to that because I want to get the word out about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, bug fixes, but I think multi-window and related things were our big feature.
Yeah, and that was ongoing for a couple of releases even. I think people saw early bits of that in the Marshmallow release, at least in the code if they
knew.
Well, wasn't it under developer settings or something like that? Or is that only in debug builds? I thought, like, developer settings let you turn it on in prior builds.
I think we just called it crash your device. You could check a box that said crash your device.
I think there was a developer preview like that, yeah.
Okay.
And the groundwork has been appearing past releases.
Because it took a while. Yeah, it's interesting to do stuff that is A, much larger in scope and difficult to do, and B, building on sort of bedrock foundational stuff that you cannot break. So when it's larger, you know, you're going to need more than a single release in which to do this, but we ship these releases on, you know, this annual basis. So how do you work on these features, which may take longer than a year, if you only have that little window to do it? So there was early work going on in Marshmallow, even though we didn't actually ship the feature until the end preview release.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's dive in. Tell us about multi-window. Once upon a time.
Well, you know, the basic idea is more than one activity can be visible on the screen at a time. The two ways we're exposing this in are we have a side-by-side story where, you know, the two windows can share the screen and you can adjust it. And for TVs, we have the picture-in-picture mode, which is, you know, about what it sounds like, kind of like an overlay with one activity. And there's some stuff to make it work nice.
So I was wondering about the picture-in-picture. We'll get back to more of the fundamentals, but the picture-in-picture, it was specifically for TV. Is it actually only working on the Android TV platform too? Is it like it's focused on just working there for now, at least until other use cases come up?
Yeah, for now.
Okay, yeah, because it was specific about like playing the little video while you're doing something with the UI.
Yeah, and I mean it's. To some extent, that's why you have to opt into it in addition to being resizable, because it doesn't make sense for a lot of apps to be in the picture-in-picture. Like, you won't get input events, so you have to subscribe to the media button receiver. So, you know, it's something that only makes sense for certain use cases.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so it's called multiple windows, but in the scenarios I heard, there's two. Is multiple always two, or can you have more than two?
Two is multiple, just to be clear, Tor.
Yes, I'm just wondering, like, it could have called a pair windows, but we're not. Is there some thought that in the future we might go to more than two windows, like you'd have three side by side?
In our counting system, we go one, many. It's just easier that way.
So, I mean, such things are possible.
So the APIs don't say left and right.
Right, the APIs don't say left and right. Because
we learned our issue when we did like the LTR and byte eye stuff. Like,
we don't just have left and right. We also have top and bottom. So, yeah, it's very flexible.
Right, because we've already seen other OEMs shipping all sorts of variants on multiple window management. So one big goal was to, you know, make an API surface that can accommodate all of this, to sort of unify the ecosystem, even if what we're shipping it in is just, you know, two activities side by side, basically.
So are these APIs for app developers? Do they have to do something special for multi-window? Or are these, you're talking more APIs for like the window manager itself if you're customizing Android?
Well, I guess both, but I was talking about for the app developers mostly.
Okay, so what does an app developer have to do to participate, you know, in multi-window? Because I'm assuming that out of the box, you don't have to do anything for sort of the base behavior, right? I'm thinking that we didn't have to update all apps for Android N for multi-window to work, that you can generally run, you know, some sort of app side-by-side with something else without the app developer doing anything.
Right, so generally your app will work. There's a resizable activity attribute. And this is what's required to enter multi-window mode, and we set it to true, even if you don't target N.
This is in contrast to what you're saying about picture-in-picture, where you need to opt into picture-in-picture.
Right, yeah, you have
multi-window,
to opt into
picture-in-picture,
but multi-window...
So by default, if you haven't said, you probably are resizable, but you can say, I am not resizable. In that case, the user can't pin this, like, on the right-hand side.
Right, and, you know, some apps might just not be resizable. I talked to an app developer, they're... main view is basically a PDF that they get from a server. You know, there's no resizing going to happen. That's just how their app works. And in that kind of case, maybe it's appropriate to declare that. But in general, your app should work at some level, and then there's a lot of things you can look at to start to refine the experience.
Sometimes one size does fit all.
Yeah, I'm just thinking even in that case, even if you get like a static image, couldn't you just scale it, you know, the user can do what they want?
You can look at things like that. You know, we try to avoid scaling ever being on the screen for too long because text starts to do really weird things.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so what's the actual API service? So there's the opt-out thing. They're auto-opted in, but you can declare in your manifest that you do not want to be resizable.
Right. And then there's sort of an existing API surface that's maybe more important now, where you can talk about handling configuration changes and what will happen, you know, when the user resides the divider between the two windows. You'll receive a configuration change like you would if the device had been oriented or something. So if you don't handle screen widths, smallest widths, orientation and screen layout, you know, we may relaunch your activities. So if you were doing an animation or something, it'll freeze, it won't be... that fluid.
Okay. So does that mean that out of the box, if I've done nothing, right, so I don't have a configuration listener.
Yeah.
Does that mean that after resize, you will always restart activity just to be on the safe side?
Yeah.
Okay. But if I'm implementing this interface and saying, I'm handling screen size changes, in that case, you'll just assume that the right thing happens and you will leave it.
Yeah. And there's a lot of, you know, nice things to make sure that when the activity relaunches, there's nothing... there's no flashes on screen, you know, that it happens quite fast. So it's
right,
not
so
dramatic.
For
you know,
an orientation change, we do some sort of crossfade, right? Do we do similar things here?
I think it just does a layout.
Yeah, it
does a configuration change. We get the first rendering, just like we do when you launch your application, and then the window manager displays it in the new size.
No, no, okay. So I'm sorry. I meant if I haven't implemented resize listener, right? So that the activity has to be restarted. In that case...
That's what I'm talking about. It relaunches it in place. There is no crossfade to the new layout.
Yeah, so there's no sort of crossfade. Basically, the window manager steals your old surface, keeps it where it used to be so that, you know, your shutdown, teardown doesn't interfere with anything on screen.
And that's fine because most people will probably not have different layouts for different screen widths that you're resizing across.
Right.
But if they did, it would be a jump.
Right. So, I mean, that's another factor of we're talking about, you know, you get some support for multi-window out of the box. And you can continue to sort of refine your experience. And one important thing is making sure you don't have really shocking jumps across different configuration gaps, especially
popping between like a portrait and landscape mode
right.
for some like side by side versus. You
but
know,
I mean, it's pretty.
Viewer.
It's pretty well. It used to, I mean, if you targeted tablets, you will have an X large right size. So there's going to be a jump point at some width, yeah. right? Where typically your layout will be quite different, right? So if you're using like you know if you have like the Gmail case, right, where you're going to jump from having just a message list to having a message list and the compose window, for example. I'm going to try it. I'm yes. going to try resizing that app later today.
Right. So in these cases, we recommend people pick one of their layouts to use in multi-window and try and stick with it. And normally, that seems to be the tablet one. It's more flexible, actually.
But then how would they stick with it, as you say? Like, if we're automatically determining the layout to pull based on the new size that they have, based on you know where the user dragged that.
Oh, so by layout, I meant, yeah, you know, conceptual layout, like layout that looks relatively similar. Like my nav bar is on the left. You should probably keep it on the left, even when you go to, you know, a larger size.
Okay. But, okay, so if it is an application, let's say it's an email application, right? And on tablets, they like a side-by-side. On tablets in landscape mode, they like a side-by-side, you know, message headers on the left, message content on the right. Whereas in portrait mode on phones, they're going to just have message content or message headers, right?
Yeah.
Sort of typical split between these UIs. How, if the system is automatically going to pick one of those based on, you know, the size that is determined by the user dragging the multi-window slider around, how does the application react to that if they just want to have one of these, if they don't want to have a jump cut between these two? Do they just need to provide more resources to be able to handle these different sizes they can pop to?
Effectively, well, just more resources, yeah.
Okay. But I mean, that's what happens today with our multi-window, right? Is that your app will either pick the larger or the smaller based on the available screen size. So now we're just doing that for each time you resize.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's no continuous mode, right? It doesn't do it
no,
until like
no, you
the release
doesn't happen until you lower the divider.
There was. In preview one, it was continuous,
yeah.
right? Because we were just almost fast enough to be continuous. So it was interesting. The early explorations, I remember in the release, found out that the big lag in a configuration change was not the configuration change itself, and it was not even like layout and redrawing, which can be very heavyweight. But heavyweight is in terms of like a frame or two, not that big a deal. The really heavyweight thing was recreating the surface, right? So the thing that the multi-window team did was create one screen size surface and
right.
then just resize within that thing. And then we're only creating this thing once. And therefore, you could actually do configuration change and all this heavyweight stuff on the fly and almost get real time. But it wasn't quite enough, right? So if you tried to do the continuous, we were always lagging behind where the slider was. So then as of probably preview two or possibly the preview that was I/O, you moved instead to a model where you move the slider around and all we're doing is painting the background.
Yeah.
And then when you let go, you get the configuration change.
It's funny. This is kind of similar to what we're doing in the new layout editor in Android Studio, where we have this new feature where you can resize the canvas to any arbitrary size.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps you preview what's happening. And I think in the first release, we didn't have live resizing. But that's something we've recently added for the blueprint mode, because then we can afford to run it all the time, so you can quickly
right.
see what's about to happen when you release.
The other thing that you can do is allow people to resize a dashed line, so you have like marching ants on the screen, and you show them you know what size the geometry will be, but nothing else. Take it all the way back to like Mac circa 1985,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
That would be really nice, because I think people appreciate that mode where you don't get any feedback whatsoever on what's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree.
Just something to consider. No. As a UI designer. Okay.
Yeah, so I think one of there too with apps, you know, not that many apps have thought about taking on a continuous range of configuration values and having on configuration change called, you know, 40 times in a second.
Right.
So we're easing our way.
Okay.
So the two things so far is, A, I can opt out, but hopefully most people won't do that.
Yeah.
And second thing is, if you want to be, you know, if you want to have a better experience, you can implement configuration.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that an app developer can do for this?
Yeah, there's some more things. You know, we have a layout stylable in your manifest where you can customize your window background that'll be used during resizing. Because as you know, because we don't resize your app until they let go of the divider, so they start making it bigger, and you want to put a color there.
We're going to use the default window backgrounds.
We have another, but you know, some people don't want to use window backgrounds for various performance reasons. So we also have the window background fallback attribute now, which will only be used for resizing because we have to put something there.
So you call it a layout stylable. Is it a drawable resource or is it a layout resource or what do you supply?
It is a layout resource and you put a drawable on it.
Okay, so I provide a layout.
I'm thinking it must be a drawable because it would have to be consistent with everything else, like the window background, right?
Okay.
Wait, the window background is drawable,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So there's also the other stuff I remember. Is there like a default width and height, or is that, no, minimum? There was like some other attributes.
You can also specify your minimal.
Yeah, minimal.
Your minimal task size and a sort of default task size. These are for freeform window management, which we've added APIs for, but aren't enabling on any devices and in. But like I was talking about earlier, we have a situation where a lot of OEMs are shipping a lot of different devices that already have these features, so we want to provide standard APIs for these sort of things.
It's one of the tricks of API development is trying to free your mind, to sort of think beyond the current problem that you're solving into a more generic solution that's going to work for the system.
Right? Yeah.
It seems like this would be useful even in the side-by-side scenario, right? Like if I know that my app will totally look like crap if it gets, you know, narrower than 100 pixels, whatever, should be able to say that so that you can't resize it that. Or is the point that the UI lets you do that to sort of hide the window?
The minimal size could be useful in side-by-side too. The default size is ignored because, you know, the default is side-by-side.
Okay, so the default size is the one that applies to the...
But ultimately, it's snap points in multi-window in docked anyway. So...
Yeah, I noticed
that. Your minimal
size
is never going to get so small. It'll stop at 220 dp.
Okay, all right.
So the snap points that I'd noticed, I'd only played with it on a phone before. I don't know if it's different on a larger form factor. It's like a quarter, half, and three quarters. Like,
yeah.
And so is that standard on all screens? So you can go side by side, but it's not like, you know, you can have any size windows at all.
I mean, definitely, you know, an OEM could customize that. But that's what we're doing.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
So you said that you can get down to 220 dp. That's the effective minimum. Is that something that you encourage app developers to test against then? Like your
right,
app should
definitely,
be
yeah.
reasonable at that size. Or if not, mark your app as not resizable.
Well, you don't always need to go so drastically to marking your app as non-resizable, I think, because, you know, it's always a user-initiated action. And then, like, the user always has to explicitly opt into multi-window and take your app there.
Yeah.
And if it mostly works, but, you know, isn't 100% perfect, you could consider leaving it, right?
Right. Or you could just have, you could rename your layout to be layout dash width 220 dp, and then your default layout could just be a big red rectangle saying, you know, I refuse to be smaller than 220.
Don't do that either. Don't learn your UI tips from Tor. It's a mistake.
But yeah, I mean, we want to encourage people, if you're thinking about how can you work well in multi-window, to think about 220 dp and think about the smallest kind of configuration first, right? Because they're the most challenging. Like if you design your app for the biggest configuration, it can be quite difficult to then slim down because everything has become, you know, you put everything there for a reason. So how can you remove any of it?
I guess you could use the trick I just mentioned, but instead of a red rectangle, you could then put a scroll pane and then put your regular content inside of it for that size. So when you get to the smaller size, well, you get the full size, 1020p, you know, but you get the pan around in it.
That would be an excellent experience. Don't do that either. I'm thinking of the full size, like, web pages. You know, the web, which is so mature now, of course, and there's still these sites where you go to, and if you happen to have a smaller browser window or you're running a smaller form factor laptop or something, it just goes off to the right because, like, darn it, that's how the designers laid it out. And that's the width we're going to display it at, no matter how big your browser window is. So yeah, don't be that.
Right.
Don't be that person. We should point out too, like, yeah, you know, make sure you're happy under these sizes and make sure you're providing the appropriate
resources and experiences. But one of the things that makes this feature really work sort of out of the box, and one of the reasons that we enable it by default, we opt you in by default even if you're not targeting in, is the same reason why the display size feature works. This is just how Android layouts work, right? Like if we were totally dependent on a system of absolute layouts targeting specific screen sizes, this feature would fall over dead, or we'd have a hard time getting people there because, oh my God, arbitrary sizes that they didn't expect. But the fact is we have an ecosystem where we do not know what the screen sizes are going to be. We don't know what the devices are going to be shipping from OEMs next year, or the form factors, or the, you know, the aspect ratios or anything. And so we offer these layouts that you should take advantage of, and developers do, where they react to changes in screen size when the thing rotates or when it's on a device that you didn't happen to test on, and stuff just kind of works, right? So in general, this just kind of works, but then you can check it out under different sizes and see if you want it to work a little differently than it does.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's like Chet said, that's kind of how the ecosystem has always worked. You've always designed for different screen sizes, and you've always been relaunched when your configuration changes on rotation. There's nothing too fundamentally different happening to your app when, you know, the dock stack size changes.
Yeah. Just a different way to get into basically the same kind of code path, the same kind of stuff that is already being exercised in your apps. So another API that we didn't mention was the ability to actually launch an activity, a sub-activity, into multi-window, right? So you can, if the user is already in side-by-side, then you can launch? Does it put it into multi-window mode?
So we have, it's called a flag activity launch adjacent, which, you know, you can use path to start activity. And it only works if you're in, you know, the idea is start the activity adjacent to you in side-by-side mode. And it only works if you're already in multi-window mode, because we've decided for in the user always has to enter multi-window. Because, you know, it's, especially if you've never even heard the phrase multi-window mode, you're not even thinking about windows on your screen, it could be a very kind of confusing transition all of a sudden.
Oh my God, my phone broke.
Yeah, right.
Help me get out of this thing.
Yeah.
Because if we didn't do that, I'm sure tons of apps would start to do that, right? To put like top half of the screen is my overview and the sub part is my details view. Yeah. But then I can't kill it with a single gesture to get out.
So, you know, I mean, this
in
is
fact,
something...
I wonder if you have started an activity with that adjacent flag, if killing it should also kill its adjacent activity.
I think whether or not that happens depends on the task flags you pass.
Yeah. But it just seems like it might be the right intent. If you're saying, hey, I'm adjacent to this other thing, then you're sort of pairing them in a way.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so the user's gone into multi-window and you have a flag set on the sub-activity that you're launching.
Right.
And then that's automatically going to pop up next to or under or over the existing activity.
Yeah. Which can be quite nice and, you know, one, all sorts of document-oriented use cases, like, you know, two documents open side-by-side, et cetera. Lots of cases where your app would already support flag multiple task and...
Yes, I'm trying to understand. Like, so let's say the Google Drive app would be a perfect case for this. Right? I'm sort of in this viewer, but I'd like to bring up a document without leaving app.
Yeah.
But if I'm sort of clicking on a document then, I'm not in multi-window mode, so it couldn't suddenly enter it. So how would I be in a multi-window mode when there's two slots available?
When you enter multi-window mode, you get the recents view on the other side. So you could open the app. And then you could enter multi-window mode. And then your app could, you know...
Can the app notice that I'm now in multi-window mode?
There's an API for both picture-in-picture and multi-window where you can query, you know, if you're in it and when it changes. Or for launch adjacent, in many cases, you can just always append the flag if it's appropriate for a kind of multitasking scenario. And if you're not in multi-window, it'll show up on top like it always has. And if the user is in multi-window, then... you get a nice side-by-side experience.
So the gesture would have to be that I'm in the Drive app, I click the Recents button, so a slot opens up, and now the Docs app, Drive app decides, oh, I'm going to fill that. I'm going to try to open something there.
Right. Or you had something else on the side, like you had already filled it with recents, but then you launched something over it.
Okay.
And there, so
maybe that's the more common case, right? Where I'm in a side by side and I already have like Twitter or something on the right hand side and Drive on the left. I double click on something and it knows, oh, you're multi already. I'm going to put it next to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't think of that.
Or you can also be in that mode because like you can query whether you're in multi window mode, but you can also, there's a callback, right?
Right.
So you can find out when things change and then set yourself up to be in that future.
Cool. All right.
I think that's all the bits of sort of API I remember. So,
that's kind of the main API surface.
So were there any changes to existing things to make this work? So I'm thinking an app can go into full screen mode and can customize nav and status bars.
Yeah.
Right?
Then there are some disabled APIs or that just effectively don't have any effect in multi-window, you know, like... the various flags controlling the visibility of the nav and status bar, the screen orientation attribute on your manifest, and entering immersive mode. But, you know, kind of what you'd expect, just anything that where you're trying to control the whole screen, you can't do in multi-window mode. And generally it just, most of these things are already, you know, kind of flags that you submit and hope will be honored, and they won't, multi-window mode.
Okay.
So I'm just kind of curious, with this immersive mode, can I play things like the Play Movies app? Does that sort of work in an 80% of the screen, and then I can have like the top 24 for male? Or are the kinds of apps that demand to have full screen and hide the play control buttons and the back and all that stuff, does that work? Or do we default to like, hey, since you're asking for it and we can't give it to you, we're not going to let you run multi-screen, multi-window?
No, typically it does work because what we're telling the app as you resize is because the configuration is changing, the app effectively perceives the display size as changing. It's just...
Okay, so it's being told what it wants to hear.
Okay. Yes. I think that's kind of the big foundation of multi-window, telling the app what it wants to hear.
And I guess the fact that we've had these APIs for a long time that tell apps that they have to deal with different densities and screen sizes actually benefits us quite a bit.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's like people thought about this a while ago. So I totally remember what I was trying to think of earlier. The life cycle stuff is interesting.
Right, that's what I was thinking about, too.
You get into like a multi-window world where you have these side-by-side apps, and I think your default instinct would be that now I have two active activities on the screen, but in fact we have the same life cycle capabilities as we did before, which is there is one activity that is actually in front that has the focus and that the user can be interacting with, and the other one is paused.
Right. So, the life cycle is the same as it's always been, but the effects of it are much more visible now, I guess. And it's, you know, there's one resumed activity that's the sort of focused activity. Anything that's visible is paused.
Was that ever the case before, that an activity could be paused yet visible?
I think if you had a translucent activity. And this is one of the reasons why we didn't really recommend like keeping translucent in an activity in front, because it means the activity underneath may actually continue doing stuff when the user doesn't care about that.
Right. So I'm just wondering, you know, when you first implemented this and you started playing with apps, was that a problem in practice that the app that does not have focus is paused but is visible and it looks stupid because it sort of expects that, you know, when it's paused,
right,
it doesn't have to do...
You know, I don't want to say it's a big problem because it's pretty easy to manage on an app-by-app basis on the app side. But lots of people understandably assumed I receive on pause, I should stop my video playback,
right.
Which just isn't true, really. On pause just means you've lost focus. And if anything, you know, you should probably, there's not much to do. Maybe update some, like, focus representing elements of your UI or something. But you should wait until on stop when you're no longer visible to, you know, stop animations or stop your video or.
So what do we recommend people do in on pause now? Do you really think that you should think of it as a focus loss and that's just about it? Because I've seen a lot of code that does quite a bit of stuff in on pause and on resume and not so much in on stop.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's unfortunately just the most obvious interpretation of the APIs, but yeah. Not totally how the APIs were ever intended, right?
I think the recommendation for a lifecycle and all the complicated diagrams of what happens when and still carry over, it's just that it's a more real issue that you should probably understand better in the multi-window world, where now that pause thing may be completely visible to the user, so it should be doing something reasonable.
Right. I mean, effectively, I think people basically thought of them as almost interchangeable before, because you got them, you know, you'd get on stop a few seconds after on pause or something at most.
I'm just sort of thinking, if you just think about it, if you're running a video player and you're being told, hey, your activity is paused now, doesn't that I mean, it seems like, yeah, you should pause the video. The user has paused you, right?
I agree. So it's an unfortunate naming.
Yeah, there are only so many words in the language.
Yeah.
So we have to reuse that one.
You know, we're trying to make it more clear in the documentation than ever, but it's difficult. But, you know, it's tricky to have more than one resumed activity in... you know, we're prohibiting it in CTS because it doesn't really work. Like camera apps, you know, they look at when I'm resumed, they assume that they're the one who will be using the camera device, and they don't necessarily check the error code of the functions because they've never had to, because, you know, the rule is you just don't use it if you're not resumed.
Yeah, and I guess that's a good case for where you really need to actually be focused for you to try to grab
exclusive
hardware.
Right, so that's an example of something you would do in pause, you know, give up your handle on the camera.
Yeah, okay.
If it's like a singleton sort of resource.
I see. Okay.
Are there any interesting use cases you've seen of apps actually using multi-window or thinking about new ways to use their app through this? Or just users' use cases? You know, well, now I'm going to bring up, you know, my email, my inbox next to, you know, cat video playlists.
Right, yeah, I think so I'm thinking back for developer use cases. There are some interesting ones at I.O., but I'll have to jog my memory first. For user use cases, I think the two main ones that I think are interesting are, you know, like you brought up the communication and content story. It's really nice to just bring up Hangouts in, like, a small portion of your screen. And the kind of comparison kind of use cases, which is, like, opening two docs and look at them side by side or something like that. Actually, the thing that gets me most excited about it, but I don't know if I've seen, you know, a story with apps that totally makes this great yet, is how much better it could be for sort of content creation kind of workflows where, you know, the kind of things where you'd use Photoshop and two or three other apps on your desktop, which I think is an area where, you know, especially on tablets, which are pretty big devices these days, people still mostly consume content.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be really cool if multi-window could help with those use cases.
So you mentioned Photoshop or content creation, which is one of the reasons that we also worked on drag and drop.
Right,
So now you can actually, you know, create the content or be dealing with content in one app and then drag that over to another app, which never used to work because there was never ever more than one activity on the screen at any one
time. So that's another API we forgot about. There's, you know, the existing view start drag API, and I think we added... Start, drag, and drop.
Yeah, now it's called start, drag, and drop.
Now
and then
it's called
we
start, drag, and drop.
Stuff like cancel, drag, and drop, and a bunch of related permissions.
Right, yes, and there's a flag you can append, drag flag global, something very similarly named.
Yep. And drag shadow, horrible. Drag and drop shadow APIs, because it's not a shadow, it's a thumbnail.
Right, you know, you can customize the thumbnail, and you can specify the permissions, and that's quite nice in side-by-side kind of cases, right? I mean, even I find cutting and pasting on my phone without multi-window to be a quite arduous kind of experience. Let's get this text from this app to that app. Oh, my God. Please, let's not.
Yep. So hopefully some things like that get a little more seamless now.
Yeah.
We're probably going to have to wind up soon, but I did want to come back to the surface view stuff, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, so that's an exciting one. One other thing that's, you know, not necessarily strictly related to multi-window that we've done for N is we've made a lot of improvements to surface view, which is, you know, what you'd use in many cases if you wanted video playback to like a dedicated surface or a dedicated surface for OpenGL or for the camera or something like that. And in the past, we've always told people if you need to animate it, if you need to do various transformations, you have to use texture view, where, for which you suffer a severe performance impact because we have to copy the texture into your main app window.
In particular, it's the interaction of surface view with the rest of the view hierarchy that was particularly painful because surface view kind of cuts a hole through the whole hierarchy.
Right.
Right. So then if you actually want this, you know, externally rendered thing to participate more fully, use texture view, and then we basically render it to an off-screen surface, copy it into something that's much happier
right.
to live with.
And even when you had it on top before, so it wasn't punching the hole, there was no way to synchronize it with the content in the main application window.
Yep.
But now it will all just magically work. You know, you just treat the surface view like any other view in your view hierarchy, and the animation will be synced with the content in the main window. So texture view users use surface view.
Please.
Better performance, battery life.
Come back to surface view.
I don't know the most recent exact numbers, but in just kind of scenarios, you know, playing a video in a surface view versus a texture view, there's a very measurable and appreciable battery life increase from surface view.
Better life as well as memory, right? Because now we also don't have to allocate that extra texture that we're copying into. So the feature internally was called synchronous surface view. So it was basically reducing that lag between the rendering systems. So now we update the window once with both sides of the content.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, that's quite excited about that.
Are there any API surfaces, or this was just internal implementation detail? Use it the way you always did, but now we're going to synchronize the rendering.
Yeah, use it the way you always did. Or for things we told you not to use it for before, yeah.
Yeah, so I would say for everybody that is currently using texture view, try out the new surface view in N and see whether it does everything that you needed from a texture view.
Yeah, definitely. I'd be very curious to see if there's any use cases for texture view.
But if surface view in older platforms performs worse than texture view, you'd still have 90-some percent of your users currently get worse performance.
Until N preview is widely adopted.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Yes. I mean,
it's a bit of a trade-off.
Another one of those things like, we do these things in the framework because eventually this will be a great thing for everybody. Yep. And in the meantime, here's a preview of, you know, what you can get on some of the releases that you care about.
Right. Is it easy to sort of do conditionally this if it's available or else that?
I can't speak for their app code, but I think the difference between texture view and surface view APIs are fairly minimal. And the surface view API is quite old. I don't think it would be that.
You could just
switch.
Do an SDK in check, and okay, that's
I think that kind of thing is very feasible in this sort of case. And a lot of people are doing that because Surface View used to have even more
funkiness.
Yeah. You know, it used to be even less scenarios that worked.
Cool. Anything else that we forgot?
I don't know. I feel like we hit all the major points. Yeah.
All right.
I guess we mentioned earlier, but there was a Google I/O talk.
That was quite
technical that people might want to check out.
Google I/O talk on multi-window. There's also the fireside chat where I assume questions about multi-window came up. That's worth checking out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually the last episode that we're probably going to post real soon now, we scratched the surface of multi-window a little bit. We talked to Yoram about some of the stuff they'd done.
System UI.
Yeah, there's a lot of work for them too.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks.